So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Sisters and brothers in Christ, let's get the hard stuff out of the way right off the bat. At your 2016 annual meeting, you were presented with 5 plans for moving forward at St. Luke's. Plans to deal with declining attendance and stressed financial resources. But this morning, me delivering your 2017 annual meeting vicar's address was not a feature of any one of those 5 plans. So somewhere between planning and executing those plans, things went sideways, then backwards, and then the whole vehicle flipped over. And when you got it right side up again, some folks weren't able to keep traveling with you. And on top of that, now some stranger is in the driver's seat. Now, I don't want to start here today to be negative or cynical or to scold or to blame or to reopen old wounds. I just want us to be honest about where we are right now and to do what we need to do to be honest about the places that we've already been. Those of you who have traveled the road with the other St. Luke's pilgrims through all of 2016 experienced a major trauma. Maybe you were part of the group that struggled to come to grips and to consensus with which of the 5 routes forward St. Luke should take. Or maybe you were blindsided by a letter from the bishop stating that your priest had to leave and that your vestry folks had to step down. The words that people have used to describe that experience have revealed how painful 2016 was for St. Luke's. They've used words like divorce, mourning, grief, hurt, anger, and loss. It is okay to acknowledge how intense this experience was. Actually, it is more than okay. It is going to be necessary to move forward. There are going to be tender spots that exist for folks for a long time into the future. And it will be imperative that when one of those spots gets grazed or even jabbed at, that we take note and remember that there is a reason why we get tripped up around certain topics and certain people. Unfortunately, the unknown plan number 6 that was ultimately executed at St. Luke's wasn't the only disorienting and discouraging part of 2016 for almost all of us. The world seems to have been growing madder by the minute, so after the complete insanity of 2016, on both a societal level and a personal level for the people here of St. Luke's, there is a lot that seems unpredictable. So let's stop for a minute and be quiet and take an inventory of where you are at within yourself. I mean, right now, at this moment, how do you feel? What is your level of confidence about being able to move forward, both in your personal life, here at St. Luke's, and in the world around us? Where are places that you used to feel confident that you don't feel confident any longer? And where do you find it hard to trust? Just spend a moment and take this personal inventory. Do you have it? Now I want you to take that assessment, the one that you just did inside, the state that you are in right now, and I want you to build something out of it. I want you to place it like a mile marker on the pilgrim road you are traveling. Pull off to the side and drive that stake in the earth and say, this is where I'm at this moment. Because it will become a place that we can measure progress from in a year. In the story of the ancient Hebrew people, actually, in the story that's happening in Moses' address to them this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, right after this passage that we heard read, the people, all of the Hebrew people, get to leave the wilderness. Moses is giving them his last instructions because they all are going to leave the wilderness, though he never will. And when they get out of the wilderness, the first thing they do is they gather up stones and they set up monuments, really mile markers, that remind them of God's faithfulness in a situation that was bad. It was bad by its very nature. They were in the wilderness, but also one that at times they had made worse with their fighting and their grumbling. These moments also, and these monuments also, marked for them where the edge of that wilderness was, so they wouldn't go back there any longer. Today is a moment here at St. Luke's for us to build monuments like that one. A place to measure from, but also a place to remind us where the road nearly washed out. So let's set up those markers, knowing where the edge of the wilderness is, and let's leave them behind. So what does life look like outside of the wilderness for St. Luke's? Well, from my point of view, which is only 6 weeks old, it seems like a place full of resources. It is a great and flexible facility. It has a commitment to prayer in many of its members that is remarkable and unparalleled in most Episcopal churches that I have found myself in. It has people that are gifted with every possible spiritual gift. And it is a place full of folks invested in and hoping to make this faith community thrive. It is a very rich place. And all of those assets have been on display in your time of transition. The prayer of people at the noon hour every day, I am certain, has had more effect on this place than we could ever measure. The leadership team, who was given a very unenviable task to try and be a leadership team in the midst of disarray and division, started healing and moving this place forward from the very first time it convened. And also, I am very well aware that I am not the only person in this building today who is serving St. Luke's in a ministry capacity that they did not expect. Several people have stepped up to be servants in this place in new ways, sometimes in ways they aren't 100% comfortable serving in. But they are, and God is faithful to them and to those ministries. There is a lot that has survived the wilderness. There is a grace in the way that God used all of those willing hearts to bring us this far out of the wilderness already. Folks who didn't walk the pilgrim road here in 2016, and I know there are several of you, I want you to know that you have come into a new place looking for a community of Jesus to participate in. And guess what? I think you found a good one. I believe that the Holy Spirit is looking for ways to transform this place through your gifts as they find their new potential when they are paired with the rich gifts already present in this place. Welcome. And I'm excited to see what the Spirit has in store for all of us. But there are still challenges. For one, the budget is basically balanced, which to me is a challenge. You might say, hallelujah, that is a blessing and not a challenge. But I'd have to remind you of one thing. We're going to see a very rosy budget today, but it's because it's been dramatically scaled back. Everything that could be scaled back has been scaled back. Now, don't get me wrong. I think this is a fabulous budget for folks who just emerged from a wilderness. And I think in some ways it is a triumph for the present moment here at St. Luke's. But it isn't a budget for folks moving into and residing in the promised land. In that way, this budget is also part of the signs along the road, something to take note of and to see where we have grown in reference to it when we look back on it. If St. Luke stays for a long time with a budget this style, it will stay close to the edge of that wilderness it just emerged from. But it doesn't have to, because we have to remember that God is faithful, and God has proved it so far by bringing us to where we're at. Now to close, I want to comment a little bit more on Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, particularly the passage that we heard today. As we envision life moving away from the wilderness, in this portion of the letter, so in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we start to imagine life moving away from the wilderness. In this portion of the letter, Paul reminds us of our role in the kingdom, that we are planters and waterers. We are weeders and tenders of a garden. We sow seed, water, weed, and tend through the testimony that we provide to the world about God's faithfulness to us. And I hope that in the future years, the trauma of 2016 will turn into the testimony of 2016. Not in forgetting what was hard and ignoring it on our tail, but by being able to tell how God was faithful in spite of it. Even when our plans go awry, God helps to straighten things out. But Paul also reminds us of a very important thing, and it is meant both to humble us and, I think, to relieve us. And that is this: plant growth does not rely on us. God grows plants. God builds buildings. All he asks of us is that we work together, is what Paul says, or that we share the same purpose. And that purpose can be found in the place inside of us where we are told to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, which, by the way, was also part of Moses' final address to those people as they were about to leave their wilderness. There will not be five plans presented today, and I'm not sure we even have one plan to present to you if we wanted to after 6 weeks of meeting. However, I am confident in one thing as we begin to take steps together away from the wilderness. As we tell the stories of our gratitude for God's faithfulness in our lives to the people around us, in our families, in our communities, essentially planting seeds and watering fields, God will make it grow. Amen.